44 on your Friday morning. Kevin Martell with you again in for Greg Morgan. Hey, the Riders win their opening game at Mosaic Stadium.
The Saskatchewan Roughriders like this, the opening night in the 2025 Canadian Football League season belongs to the home side. Saskatchewan beats the Ottawa Redblacks 31-26.
And welcome to Friday morning. And after a Thursday night win at Mosaic Stadium, yes, Saskatchewan had a hard time, though, containing Ottawa out of the gate. Red Blacks had an impressive opening drive and scored on their first play. The Riders found their footing in the second and third quarters, almost let a 17-point lead slip away. But they hung on. Here's the take of callers on the Green Zone post-game show.
You could just feel the energy on the sidelines with just all the coaches this year. They want it.
We look good, and I think we'll come together a lot more.
They're kind of Jekyll and Hyde. Yeah, they're playing good, then all of a sudden they'll come out and just they'll go through them like hot butter on a knife.
We'll talk to Belton Johnson on the Riders' win coming up in moments. It's game two of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. It's in Edmonton once again. The Oilers are up 1-0 in the series after a 4-3 overtime win in game one. Very entertaining, very exciting game in the first game to launch this final. A rematch, of course, of last year's Stanley Cup Final. And I think this is going to be the flavor. I think a lot of people think this is going to be the flavor of this series. These close games, maybe more overtime games. Game two tonight in Edmonton. Wiscana Pool here at home sees its leisure pool, water slides, and hot tub open up today. That's after the lap pool opened for the season yesterday. And remember, all the city's other outdoor pools open next Thursday. Mosaic is underway. Pavilions opened up last night. Probably a lot of Rider fans after the game that went to some of the pavilions. Things will continue tonight. Pavilions open up at 5, closing at midnight, and then Mosaic wraps up tomorrow. Don't forget, in Saskatoon, ZZ Top performs tomorrow night at SaskTel Center. Yeah, should be a good show. Speaking of performances, we finally get the Queen City X announcement of who's coming to perform for this year's event. That announcement comes at 11 this morning. Who's performing, plus which rides we can expect this year. We have our own announcement this morning here on 980 CJME. Next Thursday, that's June 12th, Ralco Radio will be holding a day of caring to help those impacted by the destructive wildfires up north. That day, from 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening, we'll have a province-wide radiothon. All six of our Ralco stations in the province will be accepting donations, which will go to the Red Cross, so we can help those families and individuals affected.
Bring them out.
5:51 your Friday morning. Kevin Martell in. The Rough Riders start the season off with a win over what's expected to be a pretty good Ottawa Red Blacks team. Final score 31-26 for Saskatchewan. Belton Johnson is on the line with me again this morning. Part of our Green Zone team covering the Riders. Great Cup chat. Morning, Belton.
Morning. How's it going there, Kevin?
Doing very well. It is a Friday. A Mosaic is on, and we have a win. We have a win to open this new Rough Rider season. Ottawa played well in the first and fourth, Belton, but between those quarters, it seems like the Riders had control.
The Riders did have control in, you know, in those other two quarters there, and, you know, I got to say, you know, give a shout out to Thomas Bertrand, who replaced Soulet, and, you know, Emlis had a great game, and, you know, Mario offered, you know, but, you know, at the end there's some things kind of unraveled. The Riders were able to hold on there, especially with some key injuries coming into play there as well.
Yeah, you mentioned some of the names as we talk about it again. AJ Ouellette, Ian Schaefer-Baker, Roland Milligan Jr., that's a big loss. Offensive lineman, another O-lineman goes down, Peyton Collins. Yikes is kind of what I'm left saying after that.
Well, no, I think you asked the question yesterday, Kevin, you know, if I thought there was a weakness or anything, and I think I mentioned injuries. But, again, the Riders, they have built incredible depth on this team. And that depth kind of came through and showed last night. And good thing they had those guys in place.
Belton Johnson with me this morning talking about the Riders' opening win. Who else impressed you? What impressed you as you were watching this team? I know you mentioned Sam Emilis's big game, Thomas Bertrand Hudon, who came in after. Anything else impressed you? What about the defensive side of the ball as well?
Oh, man, on the defensive side, you know, the guys, they had, what, 4 sacks in total. And the one key sack, I believe it was Jameer Thurman, where he blitzed up the middle pretty much untouched and dropped the quarterback, Drew Brown, there for a 10-yard loss to make a second and 20. With that, again, that was a key play. And I will also say, again, Mario Alford, the way he returned the ball last night, that was pretty incredible for him.
The announced attendance was just shy of 26,000 for this opening game. How does that strike you?
Well, you know, whenever I come to the game, I always, you know, look at the stadium there. And when I don't see a lot of bodies in those seats, it kind of worries me a bit. But, you know, I know it was a Thursday night game, and I know a lot of the fans come from, you know, rural towns and everything from around Saskatchewan. I'm thinking it's going to pick up as the season go on, because I'm going to meet everybody at the Green Mile at the end of this year, at the end of the season.
That seems like the sentiment from a lot of fans. And now with these new injuries, Belton, we have Hamilton in a little over a week's time. Can the Riders rebound? Can they mend themselves and continue on their winning ways?
I think they can, Kevin. And, you know, the one thing they got to limit is, you know, those passing yards. So I think Drew Brown threw for what, over 400 for sure last night. And the Riders have to limit the turnovers. The Riders had 3 turnovers last night, 2 fumbles and an interception. If they can, you know, kind of solidify that a little bit, I think they could take the Ticats down here next week.
Belton Johnson, always appreciate your time, my friend. Have a great rest of your day and an even better weekend. You going to Mosaic at all?
I don't know if I'm going to have time to go to Mosaic, to be honest with you, Kevin, but if you're going, I know it's going to be a good time. I've been there lots, and I always like the food around.
I was going to say, don't worry. I will eat enough food for the both of us. I'll try.
I got you.
Belton, take care, friend. Bye.
Have a good one.
Six 14 on your Friday morning. Thanks for joining us. Today marks the 81st anniversary of D-Day. June 6, 1944, Allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy in France, which helped begin the liberation of Western Europe. 156,000 soldiers landed on the beaches that day, including from Canada, America, the UK, among others. This morning, we remember the stories. Regina's Harold Haig was part of the effort, a D-Day veteran. Harold passed away in 2020, but I had the chance to interview him 11 years ago. Just ahead of the 70th anniversary, I talked to him in the basement of the old Logie Shoes, his business on Hamilton. That's now where the Lancaster is downtown. Haig was part of a minesweeping team in 1944. Ships that he was on would go into the English Channel and find and detonate the millions of floating mines to clear a path for other ships to then sneak in and launch their attack. He describes D-Day for us. He was there.
It is scary. A sight that you could not imagine. From as far as you could see, ships, battleships, destroyers, troop ships, cargo ships, okay? The whole, and they kept on coming and coming. And then you look up, and the magnitude of the aircraft. Layers of aircraft, squadrons, 7, 8, 10, all total, I think there was 8,000 to 6,000. And imagine the noise.
Yeah, decades later, Haig still couldn't figure out how they pulled it off.
I often wonder, how did we do it? How, the brains behind that was really something. You know, the Brits, the British and the Americans and everybody involved, the French, Polish people, everybody that was an Allied force, they did a magnificent job.
As you can imagine, they lost ships, one blown up by a tank offshore. He says he was signaling to the ship to alter course, to increase speed. The headship usually signals back. He says he was on the stern. Captain was giving him orders, and then...
And all of a sudden, the ship that I was sailing to just blew that out. You know, Corvettes, mind you, it was small, you know. I couldn't believe my eyes. I just looked, you know.
Wow.
You know, that's how, you know, how lucky we were. If we'd have been, say, I don't know, if we'd have been just 5 minutes sooner, we would have been in that position. We would have got it. Maybe. I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, explosions to go along with lives lost.
It wasn't until our third run in that we actually saw the human carnage. You saw on the beach, you know, on the beach, and in the water was bodies floating around. We actually cut through them, the bodies. We could not stop. And the bodies were there.
Seeing, hearing all of that stays with you forever.
When death is that close, you say things. You see your buddy fall, or you see the ship your buddy's on sink. You know, you say, thank God it's not me. That's what you say right there. And then you say later on, how come I'm here and they're gone? You know, how this, you're kind of trying to figure out the destiny.
I also asked him,
do you regret anything?
No, I don't. No, it really does. I think that if anything, when I came back, I was more of a man than I would have been if, you know, and I appreciated things a lot quicker, and you know, you learn. What you learn is that you learn to depend, like in the Army and the Navy, you have to depend on your buddy.
Time helped him make a realization.
There's no winner in a war. No winner. And it's you know, and you only realize that after the war's all over.
And he had a message 11 years ago that still holds true today.
But I would ask everybody to stop and remember. Just think about how many millions of people lost their lives.
Harold Haig lived to be 99 years old. Friday morning. Thanks for being with us. Mosaic, of course, is underway. Things launched last night. The cultural festival with 15 pavilions spread out across the city. And this morning we are continuing to highlight some of them for you. Some of the ones that you've maybe been to lots before. A couple of perhaps the ones that you have not been to. One of the most popular ones each year, the Italian.
You'll experience the amazing smell of our delicious homemade cultural foods, including lasagna, pasta, meatballs, pizza, and more. You can also enjoy some of our delicious pastries, such as bamboloni, cannoli, tiramisu, and much more. We have the Le Campagnole Italian dancers performing again this year. They have dancers from ages 3 to 80 years old. We also have Andrea Pina, a tenor from Edmonton, performing this year.
And fittingly enough, the Italian Pavilion is at the Italian Club, where it usually is. Another heavyweight out there, yes, the Scottish Pavilion.
But when you come to the Scottish Pavilion, you would see castles and Highland dancers. You would definitely hear bagpipes and our bands, the Tilted Kilt and West of Mabu. You would find our classic haggis poutine, deep-fried Mars bars, and delicious fish and chips. Classic drinks, we have our Edinburgh gin tasting, 3 different flavors, and there's Scotch tasting as well.
We also have a brand new escape room this year. Do you think you can complete Finding Nessie?
And at the Cor Ritchie Neighborhood Center, the Métis Pavilion.
They're immediately embraced by the rich blend of cultures that define Métis heritage. You'll hear the lively rhythm of fiddle music and the shuffle of Métis jigging shoes. See the vibrant Red River sashes and smell the comforting aroma of frying bannock. The walls are adorned with Métis beadwork and art, and the atmosphere is warm and welcoming, like a gathering of old friends.
Well, don't forget, Mosaic continues tonight. It wraps up tomorrow night. Hey, the Wascana Pool, we'll see. It's a leisure pool, water slides, and hot tub open today. That's after the lap pool opened for the season yesterday. And remember, all the city's other outdoor pools will open next Thursday. Once buds, and now they apparently don't get along anymore. You've been hearing it in the news this morning with Andrew Shepherd. This is Elon Musk and Donald Trump. It's been a war of words lately between the two. Starting earlier this week when the Tesla CEO spoke out against Trump's budget bill, Trump fired back saying he's disappointed and alleges that he asked Musk to leave. Musk says Trump wouldn't have gotten elected without him. And Trump says he still would have won. Musk threatened to decommission his Dragon spacecraft, which is, by the way, the only U.S. vessel that goes to and from the International Space Station. Tesla stock plummeted yesterday. Something like 14%, which is, what, $150 billion in value, as the war of words between these two now adversaries and billionaires continues. That sure spiraled and got out of control pretty quickly. Hey, this morning we have an announcement for you. Next Thursday, June the 12th, Ronco Radio will be holding a day of caring to help those impacted by the destructive wildfires up north. Next Thursday from 6 in the morning until 6 at night, all six of our Ralco radio stations in the province will be accepting donations, which will go to the Red Cross, so we can help those families and individuals affected.